Welcome to Church Shit. If I haven't met you yet, my name is Chris, and my wife Angela and I are the lead pastors here at Beloved City Church, and we're just so glad that you chose to be with us this afternoon on such a beautiful day, and at 3 o'clock even, and here we are, and I'm so excited, and we've only got a couple more Sundays, if you haven't heard the announcement. We are moving to a 10:30 morning service starting on Father's Day, June 15th. Mark your calendar, come with us. I encourage you to come with us. God's going to do some great stuff. He's already doing some great things. Man, Freedom Conference was amazing. I still feel like anointed and on fire from what God was doing, right? Lulu, like, so good. Anyways, so if you missed it, you did, but that's okay. But I'm excited to bring you another message today. And once you have your Bible or your Bible app open, your device for taking notes, join me in John chapter 10 and stick your thumb in there for a moment. And we're spending some time camped out in the book of John for this series of teachings we've called the I Am. And in this collection of talks, we're exploring who Jesus said he is and who he wants to be to you. And this isn't just someone else's opinion about Jesus. These words are all in red in the New Testament, so they are from the mouth of Jesus, the words of Jesus. And this is Jesus in his own words. Like, you know, last week we had worship and prayer. We had some crazy stuff going on. That was awesome last week, too. Man, we saw some healings and some physical healings and some spiritual and emotional healings last week, too. We just hit pause. So the week before, actually, we talked about how Jesus is the door. But we said that if you listened to part 4 and didn't get part 5, you'd be at a loss because these two messages have a lot to do with each other. Now, of course, all 7 of them play off of each other. And if you missed any of the series, I would encourage you just to go back on the app, on the church app, on the podcast, and check that out. And you're saying, well, what app is that? It's simply Church Center. You just open your Church Center, and someone with a lanyard after church can help you find that if you want to make sure you're staying in touch with what's going on at Beloved. Or you can also jump in on Spotify, and you can search for Beloved City Church, and you're going to find our messages there as well, and you can listen to them, you can watch them, you can download them off for your offline enjoyment, and of course it's all free for you. So for those of you watching online right now, welcome. Can we just give a big round of applause, a cheer for those online? We're so glad that you're here. Hey, even if you're at home, if you're away, you're still part of what's going on here at Beloved City Church, and so excited for you to be with us as well. So we're glad you're here. So this week, Jesus is going to take what he said last week or the week before, but expound on it, clarify on it. And so we found out that he's the door, but he's not just any door. Here's what we need to know about the kind of door he is. He is the door of the, say it with me, he's the door of the sheep. That's what we learned, the sheep. He's a door. Yes, and we talked about doors in general a lot during that last sermon, but this week we're going to find out more information. We're finding out that he's a very specific sort of door. He's a door for sheep to come in and out of, right? And so that's last week, that was last sermon. He's the door. Now we find out the door of the sheep, but that's not all, kids. There's more, because he's also going to tell us that he's a shepherd to the sheep. At the same time, he's the sheep. He's the sheep's door. He's also their shepherd. And we're going to figure out what exactly does that mean, right? Some language and some illustrations and some pictures that we want to understand. Well, what does that even mean when he says, I am the good shepherd? So here we go, John 10, starting in verse 11, Jesus speaking. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Somebody say scatter them. The hireling flees because what? He's a hireling and he doesn't care about the sheep. He just got hired. I just work here is some of the attitude that we have had in the past too. But Jesus is not that person. He says, I'm the good shepherd and I know my sheep and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father and I lay down my life for these sheep, the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they too will hear my voice. And it goes on, and there will be one flock and one shepherd, therefore my Father loves me. Verse 17 and 18 says, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Then if you jump to verse 27 and verse 30, it says, after some interaction amongst those who were listening, Jesus said this in verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Like, this is some really great news, friends. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then he says this profound statement, I and my Father are one. Pray with me, friends. Jesus, God, we just humbly ask that this portion of your word that we've just read, as we now try and consider it and make sense of it in this room and turn it this way and that way to try and catch the light and see different things in it, God, we pray your spirit would just make all of that possible in this room tonight, God. Supercharge our efforts to understand what you're saying. And we ask that if anyone doesn't know you or have a powerful encounter with you, I pray, God, that you would make yourself known in this room today, God, that they would understand you in such an epic way and how beautiful you are, Lord, and that they have you as their shepherd, God, if they so choose, and that they would discover that tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So today I want to propose the illustration of Jesus as a human shield. Now, when we think human shield, we might think war, we might think bodyguards, maybe some cheesy Liam Neeson movie. They're all the same. So if you've ever watched Liam Neeson, they're, you know, he's taken again and he's five times, I think, or whatever. Anyway, so when you think of bodyguards, though, and the human shield, maybe a bank robber who like grabs somebody around the neck and has, you know, them to gunpoint or whatever and drags them around. It's like, you know, whatever. And now, of course, you know the police or the good guy, he's trying to decide how to best navigate this situation, like, what do I do here? Because this coward is using a human as a shield, right? It's not just trite, you know, an element in movies or TV shows. It's also classified as a war crime according to the Geneva Convention. Cowardly nations and terrorist organizations all around the world will often hide military targets, hidden in or surrounded by non-combatants and civilians. There's a human shield component, right? And Jesus is here in this text, and I don't know if you caught it, was basically utilizing that metaphor, that imagery springing off of the pages of John chapter 10, not because he is actually using humans as a shield to protect himself, but the message of the gospel is this, that Jesus became a human so that we could have a shield. That's why he came to this world, so that we would be protected by his body and by his flesh. It's what shepherds do. I grew up on a cattle ranch in southern Alberta, and cattle are a little bit different than sheep, but nonetheless, one of the things we were allowed to do as ranchers in the back country is to protect the herd, and all of our trucks had a rifle in them, you know, a .22 or a .308, and when we were riding horseback or on quads, or same, rifle was always at hand, just in case a coyote or a wolf or a bear, a cougar or some pesky dog from some neighbor that would hassle a herd when the cows were pregnant. We did not want them to miscarry, so we would take that pesky dog out if we had to, right? Like, that's what shepherds do. Our job is to take care of the herd, right? A shepherd does what he needs to do to take care of the sheep. That's what their job is to do. And here in this fifth statement that we're learning from John's gospel, where Jesus is telling who he is so we can understand who he is, therefore we can figure out who we are. When we get to know who Jesus is, now we can begin to understand who we are. And he tells us, I am a shepherd, but not just a shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. And by that, what we're doing is we can infer that there are other types of shepherds who are not good, right? Brilliant deduction, PC. And that's the truth. But listen to me very carefully. Everyone has a shepherd. Everyone has a shepherd. That's kind of the big idea I want you to take away from this message tonight. So write that in your notes. Everybody has a shepherd. Whether or not you choose Jesus to be your shepherd, you still have a shepherd, because all of us, the Bible says, are like sheep. All of us are like sheep, Scripture says. And there's no such thing as a shepherdless sheep. You will never encounter, except for maybe bighorn sheep, right? But you'll never encounter just shepherdless sheep. Sheep do not live in the wild. They do not occur in the wild, right? They do not thrive in the wild. Like, y'all weren't cut out for the wild. Is that okay? Right? Sheep, they're just a flimsy animal in some sense. They will die from eating too much good green grass, actually. They'll bloat and blow up. Because if they find something good, they just consume it. It's like us sometimes. Right? Like, oh, this is so good, and I'm binge watching Netflix for 8 hours straight, and I'm just like, I blow my mind, right? It's like, and starving myself from the nutritious things that God, the good shepherd, has for me. What do they care, right? They're like, this is so good, nom, 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 nom. Oh, this is fantastic. Well, I'm really feeling full now, like I was yesterday after that pulled pork sandwich. It's like this is a defenseless creature here we're talking about, sheep. They're a flimsy animal, and they will die from eating too much of a good thing. Like, you've probably never, ever heard of an attack sheep. Anyone ever had an attack sheep? Like, this is my guardian sheep. Nah, no, never heard of it, right? Never heard of it. Like, it's just not going to happen. And so every sheep has a shepherd, or is going to be a sheep that's short-lived. You have a shepherd. I have a shepherd. Meaning we have someone who's fulfilling the role of a shepherd, in that it's what actually is leading me. right? Guiding me and helping me to make my decisions, because that's what shepherds do for their sheep. If not the good shepherd, you might look to your feelings as your shepherd's voice. You might look to your friends. You might look to the culture around you to be your shepherd. Do you make the decisions you make through the lens of culture? Many of us do, right? Money, that's a lot of people's shepherd in today's world. What do? It's all about the money. Some real status, right? Power, sports for sure. Either sports that you participate in personally or sports that you're always watching. Like there's something in someone shepherding you in your life. Maybe it's education. Parents for sure, right? There's people who have parents who aren't even alive anymore and they're still shepherding you in the back of your mind. All decisions that you make through the lens of what would mom say if she was still here today? What would dad say? I think he would say it like this. They're kids. And that's a backwards way to live, to let your kids be the shepherds in your life for you, where the marriage is no longer the priority, but the kids are, right? And the marriage is on the back burner. And then, lo and behold, empty nesting leads to an empty home because you've been allowing that to be the center of the universe. And it's just not the way forward for you. Jesus is saying, hey, I am the good shepherd. Everything, right? Everyone has a shepherd. And Jesus isn't saying that there aren't other shepherds. He's just saying he's the only one who's the good one. And he also said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And really the test of a shepherd's goodness comes down to what the shepherd does when life gets hard. Like any kind of person could stand in and be good when life's good. That's easy, right? Some of you have had relationships like that. And I have, you have too. But what about when life gets difficult? Isn't that what Jesus said about the hireling? We find out who the real shepherd is from the bad shepherd when push comes to shove. The J.B. Phillips translation of verse 13 puts it this way. Listen to this. The rent-a-shepherd, who is not the shepherd, he does not own the sheep, so he's not invested. He's not bought in. He doesn't have skin in the game. Therefore, if he sees the wolf coming, he deserts the sheep and runs away, right? Like, some of us have chosen bad shepherds in our lives. And sometimes we build our lives on the wrong things, on the wrong voices, the wrong influences. And Jesus said, storms reveal whether you've chosen to build your life on sand or you've built your life on the rock, which is Christ Jesus. And so an accident unexpectedly maybe takes place and you've lost the ability to move maybe and the way you once could, and you can't play the sport at the same level that you once were able to play it at, or this happens or that happens, or the DUI that you weren't expecting happens, and the divorce and the job loss. All of a sudden now, the person that we were counting on, the thing that we were counting on turns out to not be a very good shepherd after all. And that is why the number one thing of several that I want you to jot down tonight, if you're still taking notes, that's so good about our shepherd. Here's the first one, is that he's willing to provide ownership. Number one is ownership. Now, this is ironically the thing that we love, but yet if we dig down just a little bit deeper, it's also what we hate about the true claims of Christianity. Listen to me carefully. He's not interested. Jesus, your good shepherd, is not interested in being your consultant or your personal assistant or your life coach, genie in a Bible, or someone you could just call on when you need help here or there, or a healing here or there. He's interested in being your shepherd. And a shepherd doesn't just provide just authority to the sheep. That sheep is the property of the shepherd. The shepherd isn't just your leader and your forgiver. He's also your owner. The sheep doesn't just do what he wants to do and then occasionally check in with the shepherd like when he needs something. The sheep needs constant supervision and constant guidance, because he will eat poison ivy and die and be angry. Actually, angry then die maybe when the shepherd doesn't let him do it. But that's so good, right? No, you've had enough, Billy, right? It's so good, but I love this. It's so good for me. No, it's not. Stop. The shepherd needs to constantly provide for the sheep's needs, constantly be invested in the sheep's lives. And he's only able to do so if he is the master of that sheep's life. Following me? And that is the relationship that God wants to have with you and I. I know this ain't popular, because we live in a day where we just want God to just hook us up here and there. Our hookup culture and our sexualized culture, our hookup culture in that, our dating scenes, our relationship scenes, we carry that into our spiritual scenes as well. And we hook up with God. And as long as I'm getting what I need from God, it's good. I know I'm stepping on toes now, but it's good to step every once in a while. Is that all right? Because I want to go deep with you. I want you to have a meaningful relationship with God. He wants to be your shepherd. right? Because we live in this day that, but God, I don't really want you to call the shots in my life. I don't really care. Like, who do you think you are anyway, right? But he wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your owner. He wants to be in charge of you. He wants to be a good shepherd in your life. And the shepherd is completely and totally in charge of the sheep's life. He's responsible for it. But this is my personal life, and this is my spiritual life. God, you can touch this, and you can bless this, but don't you dare touch this. Right? Don't dare talk to me about sex or money. Whose money? God gave you those two hands and two feet so you could work a job in the first place, right? And then he's called you to steward that money for kingdom purposes, not for your own. Why are we holding out on God all the time? Like we the boss. That ain't how it works. He's the owner for two reasons. Number one, he's our owner because he made you. Psalms 100 puts it this way in verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. Now, I'm a self-made man. Really? Which part of you did you make yourself? Did you grow some kidneys in the garage? What's going on here, right? The garage, whatever you say. I know. We are his people, friends, and the sheep of his pasture. He created this world. He created you and I in his image to steward, but he gave us that job and that responsibility, and he has the oversight of that life of ours. What's going on here, right? But if we're followers of Jesus, we also believe that he paid a great price to save us from our sins, our attitude of rebellion against God. And doesn't 1 Peter talk about a ransom being paid, right? Hello, hostage situation. Don't we read about God paying a ransom to save your life from the emptiness you inherited from your ancestors? But it wasn't paid with gold or silver, which loses their value, but rather with the precious blood of Jesus that's invaluable. It's beautiful. It's eternal. Think about those movies where the hostages who have been taken tells the person, hey, like, listen, the only way out of this is you're going to have to shoot me. And essentially that's what 1 Peter is saying, that Jesus is your human shield. He said, point the gun here. And to save our lives, he allowed himself to be taken out. So I guess you could say we're doubly his now. We're his because he made us, and we're his because he bought us with a precious price. And I wonder on a Sunday afternoon like today if there's anybody that is thankful that our God didn't just make us, but when we went astray and we followed our own desires and we sinned, and that he chose to redeem us and to lift us out of the miry and slimy pits of sin with his blood. He bought us and saved us. So then he becomes our owner twice over. Our creator, and he bought us with a precious price. And though we resisted because, you know, we want to be in charge all the time, right? We want to be the master of my own fate and the captain of my soul, and we want to be our own person. And I think deep down, if we really were honest today with us, we would admit we actually want him to be in charge. We actually want him to be responsible for my life. We actually want him to be the owner, because you already know you ain't got anything figured out yet. We actually want him to be the owner and take full responsibility for my life. Here's why. Because no one washes a rental car, by the way. Right? Like, you don't care about the rental car like it's your own. It's budget rentals problem. I paid for it for the weekend, right? Whatever. Like, I ain't digging that French fry out from between the seats. I don't. Someone else's job. They can deal with it, right? Like, God's not going to treat you badly because he bought into you. He's your owner, and he's got skin in the game. He's invested in how you're doing, so you can expect to receive from him endless attention. He's like the God who's got the muscle car, and he's like, shining the hood, like every day. It's like, man, when's that thing? You're going to wear the paint off that thing. Like, he's meticulous as your shepherd who owns you and cares about you, designed you and made you, and then bought you because you rebelled and went into sin, and he bought you back, bought your freedom back. And he wants to take care of his investment. Like, you got repoed almost, right? Like, first thing that makes him so good is, man, we get ownership. What a wonderful delight it is to be owned by him. Like, we all crave a sense of being needed and known. We want to feel like we're needed somewhere, or we can contribute to something. And how beautiful it is that God has an answer that is within his church, his bride, his body. We're all needed here, friends. We all have gifts to offer. It isn't just come and sit and listen to some TED talk and a great band play an amazing couple songs, right? and then some guy give up and get up and call a prayer meeting or something. No, there's greatness inside of you that's going to help what God is building here at Beloved City Church and doing something so powerful and becoming so powerful and needed, but also knowing that God wants us to know him and to know each other as well. And that's what I love about this camp that we just had, and we had, you know, building friendships for life. That's important. Like, that's a statement that we are making as an attitude at this church. See, divorce culture has crept into the spiritual realm of our churches as well. When I don't get along with Jesus, I just out. When I get along with, I don't get along with his church anymore, I just out, right? Like, nah, God says, I hate divorce. I want you to learn what commitment means, to die to self and to serve someone else. I know I'm preaching today. Victory dance. All right, I'll calm down. There's greatness inside of you. And that's, you get to be part of helping build something great. It's God's great church. Do you believe it with me still today? Ownership. There's a second thing, friendship. Friendship. Friendships, you know, he's not just some cold, distant owner, right? Like some of you work in corporate and the boss is like way over in Timbuktu giving you orders down on email. Now he's friendly. He's not a distant owner, but he's a very personal friend to us. And that's why he chose the analogy he did. He could have said, I'm a farmer with chickens. You know, like, I'm not sure that a farmer goes to the hen house to grab the chicken, you know, to grab the eggs and has the same familiar relationship, loving relationship and bond that a shepherd does with his sheep. Like, I don't know about you, but I've never picked up my chickens and petted my chickens. I just grabbed the egg. Thanks so much. Like, petting chickens is a Minecraft thing, I think, instead. You know what I'm saying? There's this cuddly little lamb, and that's what God wants you to think of in the relationship he wants to have with you. In fact, that's one of the reasons he's the good shepherd. You know, we use the English word good far more broadly than the word Jesus chose in the Greek, by the way. Good could actually mean not that great. Because if I asked you how you're doing, you're like, good. That doesn't sound very good. You sure? Yeah, I'm good. I mean, good can mean not great, right? Of course, it can mean really good as well. Like, good. It depends on the tone of your voice. I'm like, good. Good. Right? But usually we put this modifier or tone change in there to show that it's what's actually the case. And in fact, the word Jesus chose here in the original Greek, it's like so good. You ever go up to a friend and high five? How you doing? So good. I need more friends like that too. And it means beautiful and lovely and pleasant and profitable and rich or fertile. Like, and in fact, one of the times you find this word popping up in scripture is actually describing good land. That land is good land, meaning it's land that can grow something, right? It's not full of rocks and weeds. It's not like there's no water to be drawn out of it. It's good land. And I'm telling you, he's a good shepherd, like so good. He's a pleasant shepherd. He's a profitable shepherd. He's a rich shepherd. You can plant your life in him. Actually, he's a fertile shepherd. Things can grow in him. And he wants to be your friend. Isn't it friendly when he says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me? And he says, my sheep hear my voice. And he says, my sheep, they know the sound of their names being called. Your shepherd knows your name, friends. You're not just another face in the crowd that, you know, is just there. And you're not just one of billions of people on this earth. But, you know, it's not impersonal. A shepherd knows his sheep's name. And I just encourage you to understand your Father in heaven. As he says this, he knows your name. But he also knows the name that he calls you by. A common practice in that day for shepherds that we're reading from this context was that they would come up with nicknames for the sheep. You know, like maybe it's to do the situations they had been. This little sheep, he keeps getting his leg stuck in the fence. You know, he's got a shorter leg. Now he's called Gimpy Leg. Whatever it might be. But basically, they would speak different names over their sheep. And I'm telling you, friends, your Father, he speaks different names over you than you have been spoken over you, or that you have spoken over your own life and others have been. Like, God is speaking a name over you that you probably never even knew that you have. And maybe it had to do with situations that the sheep had been in or whatever, but God is like, and maybe you feel like, you know, I feel like I'm unwanted. You might feel like you've been told you're lazy, that you're no good. Your shepherd says, your name is bold. Your name is brave. Your name is beautiful. Your name is wanted. Your name is strong. Your name is courageous. Your name is valuable. He calls you chosen. He calls you his child. He says you are royalty, that you're actually worth having. You are worth waiting for. You are worth knowing. He speaks a name over you. And by the way, he's not afraid to change your name either. What you were known for and as in the world before you came to Jesus, he has a new name for you written in glory. A new name, and he calls you, you are mine, you are born again, you are a fresh start, you are loved, you are beautiful, as I've already mentioned. Isn't that, I'm just excited about this, and nobody else is, gosh, it's like, whew, I'm preaching, and no one's even listening today. That's okay. He says, Abram, your name's now Abraham. Your name's Simon. I call you Peter. Your name is Saul? I call you Paul. Like he speaks over situations in different names. What was called this, I now call that. And I just encourage you to listen to the sound of your shepherd's voice because he's constantly speaking to you. And at the end of the day, really, if you were to really sit down and think about it, voices and names are both audible. Therefore, your shepherd really is whoever gets your ear the most. That's convicting, isn't it? Because I know in the day, there's a lot of shepherds that I'm giving my ear to. And I'm just saying, Jesus, I want to hold the phone. I want to hit pause. I'm going to turn that radio station off, that Netflix channel off, that book, I'm going to put it aside. I've got a holy book right here. And I want you to speak to me. I want to know your voice. Because you know my voice. But I sometimes have failed to stop and listen and hear your voice. Who's your shepherd? Who gets your ear the most? There are so many things that speak to us, and we can listen to them. It's very hard to have a thriving relationship with God watching 6 hours of Netflix a day and getting 2 minutes of Bible a week. Your shepherd could very well be the media that you are consuming, meaning you make your decisions based through the lens of what you pour into your heart. Videos on YouTube and you know, Snap or whatever you guys do today, podcasts you listen to, books that you read, whatever you're listening to the most, that's your shepherd, by the way. Because you're going to follow the sound of that voice. Jesus said, though, my sheep, they know my voice. They follow my voice. He's constantly speaking over you. You need to stop and listen sometimes. Every day he's speaking over your day, and you get to choose whether or not you open up that book in the morning, this book, before you rush into your crazy, chaotic day, your business, whatever it might be. But I got a promise for you. He's speaking. If you're willing to listen, the church service that you miss, he was speaking there too, by the way. Did the tree make a sound in the forest when it fell? You weren't there. You wouldn't know. But I'm telling you, he's always speaking as we gather in his name. He's always speaking through his book, right? He's always exalted in worship. He's always, you know, floods into those who put themselves out there. No one ever knocks and finds he's not there. He never puts a do not disturb sign on the front door. Those who seek me with their whole heart, they will find me, Scripture says. You got a good shepherd, friends, who will always take your calls, isn't screening your call. He'll never send you to voicemail if you have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. This is beautiful. Listen to me. He's good even when you're not. I love that about my good shepherd. In fact, look how good he is because, you know, like I have so much that needs to change in my life. Like PC, I want to know God. I love God. But as I look at my life, I just don't feel worthy of him. Good. That's fine. That's fine to feel that way because it's not about your goodness anyways. It's all about his. His goodness, not mine. My goodness is like filthy rags. It's dirty. Ugh. What happens to the sheep that strays? What happens to the sheep that's swiping wrong? What happens to the sheep that falls back into that old life or pattern, that old addiction? What happens to the sheep that knows the path and he knows the difference between right and wrong, but I just follow the voice of a false shepherd anyways, a bad shepherd, and I follow the rent-a-shepherd, right? And it's not the rent-a-shepherd who's going to come and fight the wolf for you. Listen, here's what happens to you when you stray from the path that you should be on. Jesus said this in Luke 15. If the shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he lead the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for that one lost sheep until he finds it? And then when he finds it, he will bring it back to the fold. Friends, your shepherd's calling your name, but not to accuse you, not to condemn you, not to judge you, not to criticize you, but to say, come back to life. Come back to the fold with me. Come back to forgiveness. Come back to restoration. Would you just come to me? All those are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Because I've got good things for you. I've got green pastures and still waters. And you know what? You might still face consequences. You might face jail time for that decision you made. You probably will still have to pay off that debt that you bought something foolishly with. You might have to deal with that addiction for a long, long time. But you're not going to deal with it alone, because you're going to have the help of the great and good shepherd. And you're going to have the help of his people, because he brings you back into a fold. You're not meant to do life and ministry alone, by the way. But he brings you into a church. He brings you into a fold. And now you're no longer doing life alone. And someone's helping you as you walk through that struggle and walking through that addiction and walking through that divorce and walking through whatever it is that you're walking through. Who are going to be with you, who are for you, who are not against you, not there to throw rocks at you, but to protect you and to love you back to life, to nurse you back to health, to love you all the way to wholeness. And that's a victory dance right there again. And to believe that there are better days ahead of you and in front of you than were behind you. Like, man, I'm telling you, it's something valuable being part of the body, being part of the fold of Christ. And he's a good shepherd. He's so good. He's got goodness for you. So when you say, I feel like I'm a bad sheep or a black sheep or whatever sheep, sheep only have one job, by the way. Verse 27 says, a sheep follows their shepherd. You're like, I only have one job, and it's to follow him. And, you know, I'm no good at it. Because that's cool. You don't have to be good at it. You don't have to feel like you've been good. I'm so good, it'll cover up a multitude of your sins. And that's beautiful. Like, the understanding of God as your shepherd will fill up the greatest holes in your soul, that some of those things you created yourself, no matter what they are, right? And I know you have holes in your soul, because I do too, and God's still working on me, and there are areas of brokenness in all of our lives, and there's pain, and there's mistakes, and there's regret, and there's things that trigger you, and God's still bringing healing, and we'll walk you through freedom, just like we're walking through freedom, because that's part of our mission here at Beloved. And, right, let me just tell you, there's nothing more important than your relationship with the shepherd and your friendship with him. And the devil wants to lie at you and lie to you and tell you you're not good, you're not worthy, you can't be a friend, you're not a very good person. Nah, God is good, and he's good all the time, and that's all I need to know, is he's a good shepherd, and I'm willing to follow along with him and say, yeah, come on, lead me where you go, Jesus. Maybe today you maybe just laugh this off. So stupid, so dumb. And it's going to take you 20 years to figure it out, maybe. But if you wake up 20 years from now and you remember this message, just know that your shepherd loves you. And your relationship with your shepherd will cover up any holes in your soul. You'll fill it, the Holy Spirit. And however you wasted time and you racked up regret, your shepherd loves you and wants to welcome you back into his arms. Would you believe that with me today? Friendship is so important. You've got a good, number three, I got to hurry along. I know you're getting bored already. Partnership, write that down. I got partnership. It's the next thing that I see that's so great about our shepherd, because you never read about a shepherd who only has one sheep, by the way. That's a hobby farmer, not a shepherd. This story we just read from Luke 15, the shepherd went chasing down one sheep. But what was his heart in this situation? To bring the sheep back to the other 99. And that's why, you see, we love that vision and mission of Jesus. We carry the 99 proudly on our beloved jerseys as well. There was a lot of sheep. Sheep are not really profitable if you grow them just one at a time. It's not really that efficient and effective. It won't keep the lights on in your farming establishment, you know. Especially Middle Eastern shepherds that lead their sheep from the front. They were always growing them for their wool. Sheep that were being driven to the slaughter, to the butcher, were driven from the rear, by the way, right? You didn't want to get to know them. They're just going to go in the freezer. So they're just going to be eaten. So you just drive them from the back. But a shepherd that led the sheep from the front wanted the relationship so they were not stressed out, so they would produce the best wool possible. There had to be a friendship for there to be a good wool production in sheep. And if your goal, which is the case here, because he talks about, I lead them from the front and they follow me. He wants them to be full of peace so that you can grow good wool. You wouldn't do that with just one sheep, right? What are you going to do with the wool from just one sheep? You can't even make a scarf with that much, you know, with one sweater, right? So if you have 99 sheep, if you have 100 sheep even, now talk about the wool from all the sheep. Like, now you can do something with more than just, you know, one roll of yarn, you know, like. That's the power of the local church, by the way, friends. By ourselves, we just, you know, I just got a little wool. I make a scarf. But when you got your wool, I got my wool, you got your wool, you got wool, you got your wool, like you got your gift, I got my gift, you got this gift, God gave you that, and I give this and you give that. And when we're all sacrificing, when we're all believing in a vision that's bigger than ourselves, when we realize there's power that comes from the flock, from being part of a fold, wow, all following our great shepherd, then we can do something great. Right? Then we can be a church that spreads across our city and our workplaces and our neighborhoods, and we can reach more people for Jesus, see more lives impacted by the gospel and the good news of Jesus. Like, it's more than just one thing of wool. Right? And I'm telling you, there's something really, really amazing about following the shepherd together. Someone say together. And I love that because it's not just what we can accomplish. Yeah. But synergy unlocks new capability. And that's awesome. But it's also about the personal safety of our souls, too. It's not just about wool production. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, right? There's this really hip kind of thing that just pops up every once in a while where it's like, Jesus, yes, church, no. Bang. I love Jesus for sure, but I don't need to be part of a church to worship Jesus, like, because I can just go out to some beautiful meadow, you know, and sing Kumbaya, make a duck call and read my Bible and just be with the Lord, just in the duck blind or whatever is it that you do, you know, just sing to God while I ski. I don't need church. I just ski and I'm free in the powder, and it's just him and me there, and the powder's washing around me, you know. Hey, look, get your groove on while you're skiing, man, like, you know, you're surfing. Get your praise on in your duck blind. Sing at the top of your lungs, unless you want to get a duck. But I'm just telling you, the only one who wants you to be split off from the flock is the devil himself. Just so you know, just actually put it this way, right? You can clap, you're in church, and so it's okay to, all the people who are doing that are gone right now. So you can just, it's, you know, like, that's, look, the wolf catches the sheep. It's all uncomfortable and everything. It's weird. You're like, that's what I was doing last week and I was skiing. I'm sorry, I was supposed to be here. No one knows because you're here now, by the way. It's okay, just go with me. Listen, the wolf wants to scatter the sheep. He wants them all off on their own. And I'm a Jesus follower, but I don't need a local church. He wants to scatter them. It's a lot easier to destroy a sheep that's been split off from the flock. When we're all in here together, there's something that's happening, and it's called safety in the fold. And that's why the author of the book of Hebrews profoundly says this: let us not forsake the meeting of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What day? There's a great day come when Jesus is returning for his church. Man, I couldn't imagine any better place than being here and worshiping Jesus. And like, where'd he go? I don't know what it's going to look like, but it's going to be amazing, I'm pretty sure. I hope you all get to go too. If you're left there standing, you're like, oh, rats, I missed it. Our gatherings, our small groups, our teams are about encouraging each other. Don't stop, friends. Keep going. You got it, and you're a part of what God is doing here, and we are excited for the wins, and we can be all part of it together. That's really good for you. The enemy wants to split you off, but it's not just about productivity. It's not just about safety. It's about continuing the mission that's in the shepherd's heart and embodying that mission. Didn't Jesus say, look at it, he said, I got other sheep. I got other sheep that I want to be in this pen. There's a lot of empty seats in this room tonight. And Jesus is saying, look, I got a lot of other sheep in this city that I want to be in this pen. In addition to the ones who are already here, I want to get them in. I want to gather them in. I want to bring them in. I want to love them back to life too. They're going to hear my voice too, and they're going to recognize my voice. And do you realize what he's saying? He's saying, don't ever come to a place where you're just this happy little sheep getting fat by yourself saying, man, my shepherd's so good. I got ownership. I got friendship. I got partnership. And say to the whole world, y'all can go to hell in a handbasket. Because we're not about reaching more people. Are you kidding me? I'm telling you, churches easily become country clubs instead of hospitals. And we've got to say, yeah, the water's good. Yeah, the food's good. Yeah, the shepherd's good. That's why we need to reach out to the rest of the other sheep. We need to reach more sheep for Jesus. And I need to reach sheep at my workplace, in my neighborhood, in my city. Like, we've got to have a heart to say, this sheepfold, we're going to kick down some freaking walls in this city, and we're going to make it bigger, right? I'm investing in this Jesus-sent mission, and we're going to go to some new places, and we're going to reach some more people. And we've got to have a mentality like the shepherd says, 99, that's great, but 100's better. 100's great, but you know what's better? 1,000, and then 9,900, and then 99,000. Like, when are we going to stop? Never.
until we're in heaven, friends. And that's what Jesus said. Look again at the verse. That last phrase of the verse we just read says, and then it will be one flock and one shepherd. When's that? Heaven no sooner. Heaven no sooner. Right now, there's pens all over the world. They're called local churches. And guess what? In heaven, there's just one flock. In heaven, just one shepherd. There's not the Baptist section and not the Methodist section either, by the way. It's not like that. And that means, then listen to me, that the other churches in this city that are preaching the gospel, they're not our enemy. They're not our competition either. There are other sheepfolds around the world. They're not. The wolf is the competition. He's been eating and devouring that. Anyone preaching Jesus in this city is our family. Because in heaven, we're all going to be worshiping him together. We're doing the same thing right now. That's our mentality. We're trying to fight for those who are dying of heroin overdoses in this city, taking their lives through suicide attempts, starving themselves, and throwing up after you eat or whatever. Our enemy are the things that are robbing this world of life and liberty, not churches preaching Jesus. All right, so we have in Jesus ownership, friendship, partnership. I hope you got your lunch with you because we're going to be a little bit longer. I also see in the text a celebration of, listen, this is the last one, the strength of his grip. Write that down, the strength of his grip. It's so good. In the scriptures, listen to me. In the scriptures, the relationship between a shepherd and a sheep is also compared to a father who holds his baby in his arms. Like a father and his son, a shepherd with a lamb. These are things that are used synonymously in the Bible. And Jesus said something really interesting to me about our security in Christ. And he said, look at it. No one is going to snatch you out of my hand because sheep get fearful. It's what they do, right? Sheep get scared. They're easily worried. They get easily agitated. And what Jesus said is, I know you're afraid. Like I do, I know. But just know this, you're safe in my hands. You're safe in my hands. Why? We would say, well, I'm not that strong, Jesus. And he would say, well, I'm not trusting in your grip in the first place. I'm trusting in mine. And sometimes Christians say stuff like, can I lose my salvation? I'd say to you this, no one can steal you out of his hand. No one can snatch you out of the Father's hands. Well, what if I do a bunch of bad things? Am I going to lose my salvation? He would say, how are you going to lose something you never earned in the first place? It was all about the shepherd's goodness. It was never about yours, right? Just trust in your Father. Just grow in your relationship with Jesus. Just be like a little kid in his arms, right? You're trusting him as he's twirling you around like Dad used to do. You're like, don't let go, Dad. I hope that encourages somebody today in just the slightest bit. Like we can trust in the strength of his grip. Now you might be, at the point in the sermon, be thinking like, hold on a second. Last week you said that he's the door of the sheep. And this week you said that he's the shepherd. Which is it? Is he the shepherd or is he the door? And I'd say to you, the answer is yes and yes. Understanding something about Middle Eastern shepherding practices would probably be helpful in this context. Back in the day, shepherds would lead their sheep all over the place into different areas, and they would come to little pens that had been set up for communal use, meaning that any shepherd coming through could use them. And what they would find is a corral, like, you'd keep horses or livestock in. It would be a pen, a sheepfold, but they never had a door. And there was just a gap. There was an entrance. So the shepherd would come and he would bring his little sheep through, so his little sheep would get, led into this pen and they come skipping in, whatever. And all the shepherd would do is make sure that the little sheep would get into the fold, right? Get them. No, I'm sorry. He's nice. He's really kind. And so they're lying down over there eating grass, munching away, and now they're all in the sheep fold, but there's a gap. There's no door. So what the shepherd would do is he would position himself to lie down and go to sleep in the mouth of that sheep fold. So you'd say, where's the door? The shepherd would say, well, I'm the door of the sheep. And so these little sheep in that fold, what they did, what did they have to do? They just had nothing to worry about. Because the shepherd's got it all under control. And how good is our shepherd? He takes care of everything. Look at Psalms 23. It says in Psalms 23 in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have anything to worry about. The shepherd makes sure that you have a green pasture to eat from and lay down in. The shepherd makes sure that you got still water. And the shepherd restores your soul and leads you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How good is our shepherd? Like, I get to the valley of the shadow of death, and I don't even fear evil anymore. Like, the shepherd is with me, the staff and his, comforts me. He prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil to keep off the flies and insects, and he causes my cup to run over. And goodness and mercy, those two twins, they keep following me around all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Like, I got a shepherd who's in the doorway because my shepherd is also my door. And guess what? While the shepherd lies there sleeping all night long, any wolf, any cougar, any bear, any mountain lion wants to get those sheep. Guess what? He gets to go through this. He gets those over the shepherd's dead, over my dead body, the shepherd would say. You want to get to them, you're going to have to go through me. You see the sheep who are in the fold? They got a human shield. They got a shepherd for a shield. They got protection. There's a barrier. Come on, how good is it to have a good shepherd in your life? It's the best. We're getting real close to a conclusion, so here's my thought. My thought is, since we have a shepherd who provides ownership, friendship, and partnership, we've got a shepherd with a really strong grip who not even death can get to us because it goes through him first, by the way, because he lays his life down. Wait, he did die, though. What about that, right? Yeah, well, here's the good news. He lays his life down, but he also has the power to take it back up again. So the shepherd who died on the cross for his sheep also rises up from the dead and can give us eternal life. Right? It's beautiful to anybody who believes in him. So here's what's really great about this. Our part is simple. What's the shepherd's job? We read it in verse 11 of John 10. A shepherd who's good lays his life down for the sheep. What's our job? We read it in verse 27. There's only one job a sheep has got to do. Verse 27 says, my sheep, they follow me. They follow me. So that's your job right there. Ready? It's simply to worship him. Look at it. Worship. What do you mean, like singing? Am I supposed to sing all the time? Yeah, but that is just one tiny, minuscule portion of what worship is, right? If worship to you is only singing, you're probably not tapping into all that God has for you, by the way. That's like driving your car in first gear and never getting out of it. Like, it only goes so far in that, right? You've been given the ability to live a whole life, friends, of following your shepherd. And as you serve and as you tell other sheep how great the shepherd is and you invite them to come over to the pen for a meal. And as you do all that, you also do giving. And as you do all that, you do working too. And your entire life, every second, if you're a PE teacher at a middle school or whatever, if you're a ski instructor teaching little ones to ski, no matter what you're doing, if you're in stocks and bonds or a parole officer, you're meant to live your whole life as an expression of worship. And that in all you're doing, you're following your shepherd. That is all. That's all your response is worship unto him. The shepherd's job, he lays his life down for you. So what's your job? Follow the shepherd. For imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. So imitate your shepherd. What's that going to look like? Here's what it's going to look like. He laid his life down for you. So return the favor. Lay your life down for him. Lay everything down at his feet. For you will find the surprise of your life. You'll get to take it back up again. Because remember, we learned, I am the resurrection life as well. And he resurrects you back to life. When you lay your past down, you die to the old ways of living. You will find a surprise. Here's a problem with cultural Christianity today. There's a whole swath of our culture wanting to take their life up again, but never having laid it down in the first place. Like, I know you want rest, but you never died first. Someone once put it this way, and we'll close with this. The world is full of people who miss their destiny because they wouldn't pay the price. The privilege of taking your life up again only comes from following your shepherd's footsteps who laid it down. You're following Christ into his death, burial, and resurrection, but you've got to die. First comes death. That's where we started on Easter, didn't it? So would you pray with me all around the room? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we're so grateful for hearing your word and seeing how much it touches our hearts and lives today.